My next guest is a product management veteran with over a decade of experience turning ambiguity into clarity. He has deep experience working at companies like Autodesk, AWS, and he loves sharing his expertise with the next generation of product managers. Please join me in welcoming Siddharth Ilangovan to the Same Logic Podcast. Sid, welcome to the Same Logic Podcast.
Thank you, Dwayne. Happy to be here.
Perfect. So Sid, tell me how you got started in this entire industry. What was like your first job out of college, and like how was the entire experience getting into the industry?
Yeah, sure. So this was almost like more than a decade back. I graduated out of my undergrad in 2010, and I think the first time I started my career in the tech industry was just right in 2011, I guess. I think I started my career as a business analyst. I mean, you have this services industry that is pretty common in India, where we work with the clients, where they give us the requirements of what the products should have, and then we go build it technically. So I started my tech career as a business analyst, analyzing requirements from the clients. And these personas of these clients were typically product managers. So they would tell us what to build. And as a person sitting before the engineering team, I write product specifications and design user experiences and write the product specs so that the engineers can build what I write in the PRDs, what is now called as PRDs. So at that time, I didn't know that this is what product management would eventually become. And I didn't know that I can eventually grow to become a product manager, but I just loved what I was doing. Because personally, I have a high sense of empathy, and I really like to put myself in anyone's shoes, like who I'm talking to when they're explaining a problem or they're explaining a situation. I think that kind of a personal trait helped me really love the job that I was doing at that time. And then over time, like I moved to another company called Plintron back in Chennai. So there it was a telecom software company, and I was doing the same thing for a lot more products for the telecom clients. And then I came to the US for my MBA. I went to ASU, Arizona State University, which is where I interned with Autodesk. And again, there it was product management with more of like a growth product management, which is now really popular in the product management world. And my project was to increase the number of trial users, number of conversions or subscriptions from trial users. And then I completed my MBA. I joined Amazon right out of college. I joined Amazon Web Services, and I was a senior technical product manager there in the IoT space. Again, aligned really well with what I really love doing it. Being very creative, empathizing. I like to see my products. So I was in the IoT data visualization space, which helped me flex a lot of my creative muscles and the product management muscles. So I enjoyed being a product manager over there. If you see my entire product career, I just started as a business analyst, grew to be a product person owning a single product, and then owning multiple products, and then moving from an executioner to a more strategic focused role, which is why, you know, like you put it the right way, I just love thriving in ambiguity and providing clarity to my team members.
What's the most rewarding aspect of being a product manager for you? And also we could contrast that with the most challenging aspects of being a PM.
That's a great question. I think for me, the most challenging aspect of being a PM is being able to empathize with the users. Users are nothing but human beings. And it aligns very strongly with my personality of empathizing with people. I think that's why I really love doing it, because you got to really love doing what you're doing as a job. Otherwise, you're going to end up burning out. So I think end of the day, being able to tell your colleagues that why a user wants a specific feature, or why they have a problem with a specific experience, by being able to understand their needs and what wants and challenges, that's what I really like doing. And that's what my team members value me for, because being the voice of the customer, I sit closest to the customer, and that piece of information is really needed for the rest of the company to go and execute on things. And to the next part of your question, like what's the most challenging thing? It's managing the stakeholder experiences, where you have multiple people within the company and outside of the companies tell what we need to build as part of the product. And as a product manager, it's really my job to prioritize what's the most important thing for the customer, what's the most viable for the business, and also what's important for us in a more strategic point of interest. Because a lot of it's not always that whatever the customer asks me, I will go and build it. I also need to vet that based on the strategic priorities of our company, the feasibility and the other priorities in my roadmap. So, and a lot of times even customers don't know what they really need. They state something as they want, but then they end up needing something else. So that's where I think my empathy helps me to separate out the needs and wants, where wants is mostly disguised as solutions. But I usually have to sit with them to weed out the problem that they are facing rather than the solution that they want. So yeah, that's kind of a challenging part. But again, once you align the stakeholders' expectations of what the solution is going to look like, that's a huge win.
When it comes on to user needs as well, like how do you balance user needs along with balancing the goals of the business?
Right. That's a great question. So I think a large part of that is driven by the strategy that as a product manager, I would create for the product or the product portfolio. And pretty much in any organization that I start with, the first thing that I would like to do is work on the big things, which is like the strategy, to start with strategy, as that is the most ambiguous thing to start with. And once you have the product strategy, that serves as a model to inform what sort of features or what sort of problems that you want to prioritize for your product, given that the customers are just throwing out valuable feedback all over the place. But it is, as a product manager, it is my responsibility to select the problems that I want to prioritize that fits my strategy that I achieved aligned with my stakeholders. So the first part is getting your strategy right as a product manager. I'll dive a little bit on what that strategy looks like. So strategy is like talking to your customers, understanding what you're doing well right now currently, what you have opportunities to improve currently, and how you can improve on those opportunities, because the customers are going to be your source of truth. And there are reasons why your product does well in certain areas among your customers. And there are reasons why your product isn't doing well in certain areas among your customers. So talking to your customers, understanding why it's doing well or why it's not doing well will be very critical in being self-aware about your product, and also understand how that fits in with your company's mission, vision, and its goals. For example, some companies or some products, based on the life cycle of the product, they have user acquisition goals. Some have the revenue goals. So based on those goals, as a product manager, now you have all the information. So you get creative, you understand. And you also, as a product manager, I also read a lot of news, the trends in the industry. Reddit is a very favorite place for me, where I find information about what the customers are talking about, not just my product, but also the competition's product. And there's a lot of buzz in Reddit. So Reddit is always my go-to place for looking about whether it is a B2B product or B2C product. I find a ton of valuable information on Reddit. So it gives like balancing, putting all these different pieces of the canvas together gives me what sort of strategy that I need to take. And then once I prepare the strategy, I review it with the internal stakeholders and move my way up all the way until the VP buys in. And then once we all align on the strategy, we have like a working model. The next part of having the strategy is like deploying that strategy. So you can come up with a great strategy, but then if the strategy is not being adopted by the company, then it's not as good as like not being existing at all. So the second half is like, how do you deploy that strategy? So you need to repeatedly echo your strategy in a simple, like an elevator pitch sort of framework to every person that you meet for the next couple of months, so that everybody gets your strategy and why you're doing certain things. And then once people start recollecting your strategy, like in meetings, you can hear them, yeah, that's why, you know, we discussed this couple of months back in one of those meetings. That's when you get feedback that people are now actually thinking to implement your strategy. So now you have your stakeholders' alignment. So once you have that alignment achieved through the strategy, then it becomes easier for the product manager to pick the problems that we want to work from for the customers. And then it becomes like how we channel the customers' requests that makes that delivers value to both customers and the business.
And when it comes on to like having everything there, you then definitely would have to prioritize what to build, right? How do you determine what things you're supposed to prioritize to build?
That's a very complicated question, but put in simple terms, it's both of a science and art. So the science comes in different ways of quantifying impact or estimating the effort. And there are various frameworks that exist out in the industry as best practices. And of course, like every framework has its own challenges. And understanding your company's constraints, funding, strengths, and weaknesses will help you having those quantified impact. But coming to the art of it, it's about having the conviction as a product manager. So as a product manager, like I have been a generalist PM in quite a lot of spaces. And usually I tell people, like, I go in with the toolkit of product management, where if you throw me in any space, then I would be able to use that toolkit to learn quickly about the customer, and then to learn quickly about the business, and then execute on what the customer want that delivers value to both customers and business. So going back to that perspective, I think the art is understanding what your customers need, how that industry looks like, how that industry is going to look like in 2, 3 years time from now. What are the different other competitions that are coming up in the market? And based on your understanding of what the customer's needs and wants are, you start to develop that conviction. And that conviction becomes your sort of gut feeling as the product manager for that customer persona. And that becomes your art. So a lot of times the data might not be fully satisfactory, but then your gut comes in to help, to rescue. And as a product manager at a lot of companies, your conviction is also greatly valued and is an expectation that as a product manager you bring to the table, because not always companies have the infrastructure or the resources to get the data that you want. So in those times, how do you make sure that you as a product manager are right in making decisions that will deliver value to both customers and business? So it's a balancing act of both the science and the art of prioritizing what we need to build. And another tip from my experience as I've grown over my career, initially in my earlier days, I used to prioritize solutions. And as I grow more senior in my career, I'm now prioritizing problems to solve and not solutions. So by prioritizing which problems to focus on, that decides like what the next year is going to look like. And the solutions just follow later on. But yeah, that's a key difference I was doing very early on, and now it's been entirely shift towards like prioritizing problems rather than solutions.
There are some times where, pretty much like the data is saying one thing, but your gut is saying another. How do you handle situations where the data conflicts with your gut instinct? And yeah, do you go more with the qualitative insights or quantitative data? Like, how do you approach this?
That's another thing where, as a PM, you encounter this on a, I think, quite a few oftentimes, because like you have all the dashboards built, and technology can take you to great information and all those things. And pretty much every company is now data driven, so you have all these beautifully built dashboards and all those things. But then, until you talk to the customers and until you have those anecdotes coming from the customer, it's not going to tell you the whys behind those numbers. You can see the numbers, you can see the trends going up and down. You can even do a seasonality analysis and the trends analysis and how it compares to last year and all those things. But the whys behind those numbers are going to come from the qualitative data, or the anecdotal or the other feedback that the customers or users are sharing with you. If I were to build a perfect dashboard that connects both these qualitative and quantitative, I would probably annotate the qualitative data and lay over that data on top of the quantitative dashboards that I build, so that, say, when I want to understand a particular trend in what I'm seeing, that qualitative data explains me like why this trend happened. So, like, for example, if a metric is declining right after the holidays, then or during the holidays, it means that just looking at the data just means that the usage is down. But understanding the context of it, okay, that there was a public holiday or there was like a week-long shutdown in that industry, or it's a holiday season, that will give you insights. Okay, this is more of, yeah, we are expected to get them back, or those kind of different things. So it's about using both qualitative data and quantitative data together to make sense of, you know, why a certain trend is happening or a certain behavior is observed.
And where that's concerned, where do you see like the most innovation happening in product management right now? There are like so many things happening in the industry, especially with the advent of AI. But like, yeah, where do you see the most innovation happening in the product management industry?
AI has been creating waves of innovation in just the last couple of months and ever since this year began. But I think AI can be seen as like a feature in all the products, or a vertical, which is like a product in itself, which means like AI is like everywhere, the rows and columns everywhere. So it depends on, you know, what sort of a product you're building. But if you ask me like where AI can add value in the world of product management, I think in my opinion, it's like the first thing that we can do already today is to generate the spec docs and all those, the first drafts of our artifacts, like, you know, the framework on how you should be thinking about a strategy, or if you're preparing to write a strategy doc or put a strategy deck, then AI tools like ChatGPT and Bard, they can give you great frameworks where you can start writing, getting your first draft. But then that's not the end of it. Like, you will get the first draft, but then it's the human value to it that adds value in being more creative and adding more insights, etc. So apart from, in addition to like writing artifacts, I think another area where it could be great is to do root cause analysis of why a metric has declined or why a metric is going up. And usually that's a very manual process in different companies. But I think AI can be a great help by suggesting like where the issue could be when we are observing a downward trend in a particular metric, etc. So that's something that I really wish to see. And another tool is like defining metrics. Like, metrics are just a function of what matters to your business and what are the inputs to your business and what your output metric or your business goal is. And based on that, I think not everyone is great in defining metrics. And I think a lot of smaller companies and newer companies and in different corners of the world, everybody needs to be data driven. So they all need to learn how to define the right metric for their business. And I think AI powered tools for metric definitions will be of great value add for all those product managers and founders, so that those people can focus on what matters to their business and not spend too much of time in defining metrics and how to instrument them in their tech stack and building dashboards, all those things.
What career advice would you give to your 25-year-old self if you could go back in time?
Yeah, I think I would say like lean on your strengths, always be self-aware, because as a professional, and especially being in product management with such an ambiguous job description, like if you go take two product managers' role from two different companies, they're not going to be the same. So when this particular field is going to be so variable, I think I would advise my 25-year-old to lean on my strength and be self-aware. And that is not just a one-time process. That's like a journey of how self-aware you have become. And the way you can execute it is to seek continuous feedback, just like how you would do for your product. Seek continuous feedback with your peers, with your stakeholders. Get good mentors in the industry who can benchmark your performance or how you're doing and help you become a better product manager, which is not just specific for getting promotion, but more for becoming a better empathizer. Because I strongly believe product management is a function that leads to becoming great founders and great CEOs who would build the right product that they want to build for their customers. So it's very foundational in becoming an entrepreneur. So yeah, being self-aware, leaning on your strengths, knowing what you're good at, and also knowing that you cannot satisfy everyone in this job function is a very critical aspect for you to go back home and get your peaceful sleep.
I love that. This is my last question here. I ask everyone who comes on the show this question. And the question is, what's one weakness that you've turned into your strength?
Sure, that's a great question, and it's something that I'm still working on, and I've got a lot better over the years. So, going back to the feedback of, you know, being right and having that conviction. So in the earlier days of my career, I'm personally more soft spoken. I hate to disagree with people, but very soon I realized that being in product management, you have to disagree a lot with people. It doesn't mean that you go pick fights with your colleagues, but it's more of you should not be afraid to challenge them. You should not be able to afraid to stand for your customer, even if the voice is coming from the highest paid person in the room. So I think that was conflicting with my personality. But then eventually I just like how you would work out and do an exercise, I worked out on that area. And in PM, you don't have authority. So how do you push back when you don't have authority, when the other people in the room have a lot of authority? So it's like trust in yourself, believe in yourself that you are the best representative of the customer in the room. And it's what you've been brought to the company to be the representative of the customer and make sure that you understand your customer really well, that you speak on behalf of your customer and don't be afraid to push back, assuming that you've done your homework really well and have that conviction that you know what the customer wants. And I think the rest of the things take care of it because a lot of highly influential people within a company, they'll push back saying, you know, they have stronger personality types. They have better titles. They may be 2 to 3 levels above you, but being as a product manager, bringing the data that your customer, bringing the product data of how your customer is going to use the product and how they think and what the competition is doing, that'll help a lot in pushing back and disagreeing with people when somebody says that this is not going to work or this is going to work. You go in with the data and you push back. So I think that's something that I've actively worked, and I'm happy for people who gave me this feedback in my career. So this is one weakness that I've got really better at.
I love that. Sid, it was great having you on the Same Logic podcast today. Where can our listeners find you if they'd love to connect?
Thank you. Thank you so much for taking the time to hear my stories. It was great sharing with you. For people who want to connect, I'm available on LinkedIn. Yeah, and they can just shoot me a note and talk about whatever they're interested in talking about. I'm happy to share.